السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه، وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, also our sisters listening at the madrasa and our receivers, I recited a short ayat of the Quran Sharif, and you may be wondering that what connection does this have with what we are going to be discussing. Well, there is a very, very close connection. In fact, it is a very important ayat. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam gives to you, in other words, whatever he orders us, whatever he commands us, whatever example he sets before us, then we must follow that example. And whatever lessons he gives to us, then we must accept those lessons. Whatever he asks us to stay away from, to refrain from, to abstain from, then we must stay away from it. We must not engage in those actions and deeds from which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks us to abstain and refrain. That is the gist, or that's the meaning of this ayat. Which means again, in effect, that our whole life is regulated. We are being, or we are guided with regards to every aspect of our life. How to celebrate, if there is an occasion of happiness, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated it. No one can say that nikah did not take place in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, so therefore how are we going to know how to celebrate or how to express joy and happiness if it is the occasion of nikah? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's many nikahs, this great example. In the same way, nobody can say that no grief came upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his life, so therefore how can we know what to do when there is an occasion of grief and sorrow in the family or in the society? Then what must we do? No one can say that in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's family no shahadat took place, so therefore what must we do if somebody becomes shaheed in our family? So whichever aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life you look at, it is a guidance for mankind till the day of Qiyamah. The same it is for Yawm Ashura, or whether it is Laylatul Qadr, or whether it is Laylatul Barad, or whether it is the Eidain, or whether it is Hajj or Umrah, or our transactions. Any aspect that you look at, there is always some kind of a guidance. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the one who informed us of the virtues of the day of Ashura. Who else informed us? If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not tell us what is the virtue of the Mubarak day, the 10th of Muharram, then we would not have been able to know. Before the fasting of the month of Ramadan became farz, the fast of Ashura was farz. According to many commentators, it was farz. The Muslims were ordered to keep, it was wajib for the Muslims to keep fast of the 10th of Muharram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even when he came down to Madina Tayyiba, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had already kept fast of Muharram 10th. And now here in Madina Tayyiba, then when he saw the Jews were also keeping fast, So he asked them that, why are you keeping fast of the 10th of Muharram? So they indicated that this is because of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was given salvation and najat on the 10th of Muharram from Fir'aun and his zulm and his injustice and his tyranny. He was given najat. Allah Ta'ala made Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people cross the Red Sea, and Fir'aun's people were all drowned. So they say that happened on the 10th of Muharram. So therefore they are observing the fast. Now this is common knowledge, everybody knows now, because there's so much of literature on Muharram, there's so much of talks on Muharram that have taken place. So that much we know, that he informed the people that since this, the Jews are also fasting, so we must go against what the Jews are doing. Khaliful Yahud. Go against them. Khaliful Yahud fi. In this fasting of the 10th of Muharram, you must make mukhalifat. You must be an opposition. You must do against that method or that way that the Jews are adopting. If they are fasting, then even in ibadat, our ibadat must not be very similar. There must not be confusion. We must not imitate. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if Allah Ta'ala blesses me with life, that was what the mafhum of the hadith sharif, that if Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with life, if he lived till the following year, said then I will keep the fast of the 9th. And in one hadith sharif we are told, then keep the fast of the 9th and 10th, or keep the 10th and 11th. So the lesson that we have to take from this is that the Jews were engaging not in some kind of drama, they were not engaging in some kind of liquor and alcohol and wine drinking. They were not engaging in adultery and fornication. On this particular occasion, they were engaging in keeping a fast. But even there, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Khaliful Yahud. Go against these Jews who are keeping this fast only on the 10th. Because he said that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is more closer to us and more deserving that we keep of our respect. So therefore he said and indicated that the following year he would have kept the fast of 9. So that is that important lesson. Now we are not prepared to oppose when it comes to our cultural lifestyles. Our cultural lifestyles, we don't want to oppose the Christians, the Jews and people of other faith. Whatever is their method of celebrating, then we want to celebrate our occasions in a similar manner. How they have their weddings, we want to have our weddings exactly like that. In fact, one step further we will go. The amount of lavish spending that they will do, we will borrow from the banks, we will do anything, but we must show them that we are one better than you when it comes to lavish spending, all decorations and all other kinds of things in our weddings. Then we will go one step further than those people of the other faith. So here in ibadat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying oppose them. And we say in cultural lifestyle, we are going to follow you also. In our social and domestic life, in every aspect of our life, we are going to follow you. Step by step, we will follow you. So we have to take lessons from this incidents. That there is not much as far as 10th of Muharram is concerned. There is not really much that we have to do. We have been informed of what things happened on this Mubarak day. And that the virtues of Muharram are not because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an, which was a very, very tragic incident, and the grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being martyred. So therefore, it is something that causes great amount of grief and sorrow. But the significance of the 10th of Muharram was not because of that. Now there are so many things that have been mentioned with regards to this 10th of Muharram. But many of it is what has been stated as things that have been told by the ulama of tariq. That means those who have recorded history, historical facts. Not authentic ahadith. We have to be very clear that there are certain things which are from authentic traditions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and there is a sanad or a chain that can link that hadith sharif to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we will say, well, that will be the sahih and the correct information. However, there are certain things which have also crept into history, and they may have got some kind of authenticity, but we cannot say it with certainty. So there are certain things which have been recorded. The Shaykh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah has mentioned it in his Shama'il Tirmizi Sharif. Hafiz Ibn Hajar has mentioned certain things. In the Quran Sharif Tafsir, certain things have been mentioned. But we have to look at it in general, that most of those incidents in the lives of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, which were of great significance, have been attributed to this day, the 10th of Muharram. Now, as I said, that some of it is not from authentic ahadith. But generally, it is said that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is coming into this world was on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's entry into Jannat was 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's birth was 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was put into the fire, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered the fire, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. That happened on the 10th of Muharram. Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam went through great amount of suffering. Nobody could have been more sick than Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed to us that that was also a test for Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. And after he was cured of that sickness and of the disease, there's a long history why it happened and the challenge of shaitan, etc., etc. But what we were being informed is that these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, in spite of their great piety and taqwa and being so close to Allah Ta'ala, they went through great amount of suffering. The greatest amount of suffering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam went through, and then the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and those who are close to them, they go through. But Allah Ta'ala gives them a kind of a sukoon in their heart, that Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was asked afterwards that, are you happier now or were you happier when you were sick, very, very sick and ill? When everybody left you, that's a kind of sickness that you were suffering from. So he said, at that time when Allah Ta'ala used to just ask, oh Ayyub, how are you? That's all. He said, the happiness and joy and satisfaction in my heart that my Allah asked me, how are you, was sufficient for me for the whole day, to forget my sickness and illness. That was the enjoyment. We say, how can you get enjoyment? This is how they got enjoyment even in those tests and trials. But we are extremely weak. We must not ask for it. Isi tarah se mumkin teri raah se guzarna kabhi dil se sabr karna kabhi dil se shukr karna. Isi tarah se mumkin teri raah se guzarna. That's the only way that a person can live in this world. That sometimes there will be conditions in which he makes shukr to Allah Ta'ala, express great amount of gratitude. And some other occasion there will be where he will be tested and tried, and there he has to make sabr. So the two roots, sabr and shukr, which I've been explaining many times. So the Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam was taken through that route. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's kingdoms was given to him, they say, on the 10th of Muharram. In the same way, it has been mentioned that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave najat and salvation to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people on the 10th of Muharram. If you have to look at those incidents with regards to the 10th of Muharram, which have been mentioned in the tariq, there are so many, practically every great incident has been attributed to them. But as I said, that we are cannot accept everything until it is authentic. But it has been proven from all these incidents that it is a great day, a Mubarak day, a day of ibadat, a day of tilawat, zikr, shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and tawbah and istighfar. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on this day accepted the tawbah of a nation, and it is mentioned that Allah ta'ala will accept the tawbah on the 10th of others. So therefore, this 10th of Muharram is not a day for rejoicing in the manner that other communities and nations rejoice. No doubt there is a Hadith Sharif with regards to, as I said, there's not much thing to do. One is tawbah, istighfar, make some ibadat, turn towards Allah Ta'ala, ask for forgiveness, repent from sins. And the other thing is that if a person has to extend the provisions on the 10th of Muharram, he has to extend it, increase it for his family, then it has been mentioned that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will provide for the whole year abundantly. The person is increasing the provisions for his family on the day of Muharram, 10th, the Ashura day. And Allah Ta'ala will increase his provisions or give him abundantly for the rest of the year. The gist of that. Now that has been mentioned in many kitabs. But that is about the only thing that we know. That must have a nice dastarkhan full of meals. Food is our main attraction on the day of Ashura. That we must eat and eat and eat. Whereas we are told first must fast and thereafter eat. Those who can fast must first fast, then feast. Here we want to feast before the fast. But of course, after the fast of Muharram 10th, after the fast of Ramadan became farz, then the fast of Muharram 10th was no more farz. But the virtue is there of the forgiveness of sins of 1 year. The minor sins that a person commits, how much we commit every day. So the forgiveness of 1 year's sins if the person fasts on the 10th of Muharram. But as I just explained, that because of that Hadith Sharif, Khaliful Yahud, Fee, so therefore we fast 9th and 10th or 10th and 11th. But that is the virtue and significance. But if somebody due to sickness, illness, weakness or for no reason does not fast, then we should not look down upon such person because he is not violating any real hukam that is compulsory. We should look forward to it. What we learn is that if it is mustahab, then what it means, mustahab means you must leave it out. If somebody says sunnat ghair muakkada, then what it means, you must leave it out. Does it mean you must leave it out? Mustahab, does it mean you must leave it out? That is what a person does out of muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you only made farz namaz 5 times a day. And there's some wajib and some sunnat. But I'm going to make more than that out of my love for you. For the enjoyment that I get when I put my head in sajda before you. The whole world and everything that it contains, if I have to be given, I will not be able to get that enjoyment. But when can we say that? When we have developed the heart, the muhabbat in the heart. Then that person will be able to say that. So mustahab is not something that we must leave it out. Yes, what it means is that if somebody, for some reason or the other, or without any valid reason also, sometimes leaves it out, he will not be sinful. So this dastarkhan that we're talking about, that on the 10th of Muharram, the person must extend the provisions, doesn't mean now it must be very lavish. The person can add 1 or 2 things more than what he normally eats it for the children, give them little more, for the family provide little more. But the condition is that it must be halal. What is the purpose if the person is using his credit card and purchasing on interest? He's saying, no, it is all on budget. Because we heard one Hadith Sharif that must extend the dastarkhan, give more provision. So now let's go to the best supermarket and spend on our credit card, although we got no money there. And then we'll pay interest on it. So will that interest payment kind of thing bring any kind of barakat? Even if that person extends and extends the dastarkhan and invites the poor people of the whole locality, it'll bring nothing but azab and bala on it. That which Allah Ta'ala is so displeased with, and Allah Ta'ala's anger and Allah Ta'ala's lanat and curse on taking of interest and giving of interest. And now the person is saying, I'm providing little extra on the 10th of Muharram because he wants to show off. So at that time, whatever the person has got, add 1 or 2 more things on it, that's all. He doesn't have to go and buy on credit card and pay interest after that. So that is one of the things that if a person does on the 10th of Muharram. So I always say that we always require money in our lives. So therefore, if the person on the 10th of Muharram, instead of eating over limit, he extends to some extent his dastarkhan, but give to the poor, the needy, the destitute, or those who haven't even had one good meal, give it to them. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give increased barakat in this person's life. So this is basically that what has to be really done. And as I said, that since it is a day in which Tawbah has been accepted of nations, therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala throughout, whenever there will be a 10th of Muharram, then this is what is going to happen. Now imagine Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is opening the doors of maghfirat. He is opening the doors of forgiveness. Oh, you servants who have gone very far away and who are now deserving of my wrath and anger, as if Allah Ta'ala is saying that, oh, you servants who have gone far away and deserving now of my wrath and anger, I have given you another opportunity to return. How many opportunities Allah Ta'ala gives? Who can be so merciful, so kind and so forgiving as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Sometimes the month of Ramadan, sometimes Laylatul Barat, sometimes the Eid, the nights of Eid, the day of Ashura. So many different occasions. Every night, tahajjud time, Allah Ta'ala addresses Himself. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness? I may forgive him. Anyone seeking sustenance? I may give it to him. Apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar dil ko sajde mein ro ro ke abad kar. This heart dies also when we commit lot of sins. It catches rust also and it dies also. Spiritual heart. Now, how are we going to bring life into spiritual, into the dead hearts? So, apne malik se uth kar ke faryad kar. Get up and cry before your Allah. Cry before Allah Ta'ala and bring life into the dead hearts. So Allah Ta'ala gives another occasion, another opportunity. Again, the whole day of Muharram 10th, Ashura day. Seek from Allah Ta'ala, who doesn't need forgiveness? Who doesn't need risk and sustenance? Who doesn't need afiyat and salamati, protection and safeguard and well-being? Everyone needs it. We are in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala every second of our life. So therefore we have to seek on these days. Allah Ta'ala is opening up the doors. How much of effort is required if we have to make one appointment with just the secretary of, to the president? There will be so much of appointment. Red tape to get to the president is a story on its own. Here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself, who is Malikul Mulk, the one who has created the heavens and the earth and the human beings and the jinn and the waters of the ocean and the sun and the skies and everything else. Now he is saying, is there anyone seeking forgiveness? I may forgive. And on this day of Muharram, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the 10th, he is forgiving nations. Salvation and najat on this 10th day of Muharram. And what we will spend it in, because it's a public holiday, we must ask ourselves where we are going to be on the 10th of Muharram. Many people will be in the masajid now. Of course, because of Saturday evening, there are lots of walimas and lots of nikahs and lots of other programs, which are permissible. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean everybody has to sit in a masjid. If there's a nikah, there's nothing wrong. If there's a walima, there's nothing wrong. But what we have to understand is that, is it befitting of a Muslim when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is opening the doors of maghfirat and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is informing us of the great virtues of this Mubarak day? Then cinemas, discos, theatres, rave clubs, porn sites on the internet and the TV and the movie and the football and the cricket and the rugby and all kinds of matches and everything else. Is it appropriate and befitting a Muslim who believes in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's greatness and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's finality that he is the last and of all messengers and whatever he has said is nothing but the truth. So when Allah Ta'ala is inviting towards rahmat and towards maghfirat, at that time deliberately and purposely if a person says that I don't need that maghfirat door, I want to go towards the door that brings your azab and your wrath and your anger, will that be right and befitting a Muslim? So even if we had intentions of going to different places which were not appropriate, at least let us make up our mind tonight in this very majlis that tomorrow is the 10th of Muharram. Oh Allah, I'm not going to displease you. Even though I have displeased you all my life and I have done everything that invites your ghazab and your anger, but I'm making up my mind not to go to those places and not to go to those areas and not to engage in those actions which bring your wrath and your anger. Because you want to give maghfirat, you are opening the doors of maghfirat and the rains of rahmat you want to pour the whole day, the 10th of Muharram. So I also want to be soaked and drenched in those rains of rahmat. And I do not wish to be in those areas which are going to bring nothing but your rains of azab. Look at the world and around the world, what is happening? Look at Europe at present, what is happening? Look at other parts of the world. Look at the azab of Allah Ta'ala in what form it is coming. In what form it's coming. Flood waters, earthquakes, gale force winds, cyclones and what. And look at the snow, how it is paralyzing whole countries. I always say it is South Africans' charities that Allah Ta'ala's azab is held there. Charities, that's all. Otherwise we are no better. So therefore, let us not make the day of Ashura a day of azab of Allah Ta'ala.
Ya Rab karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Ya Rab karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Jo mustahik ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Ya Rab karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Jo mustahik ghazab ka hai usko aman de.
Oh Allah, with your fazl, with your kindness, with your ihsan, karam se apne tu dono jahan de. We are not asking you for only the hereafter. We are asking you to give us the best of both worlds. A Muslim is not told that he will only get in the akhirat and the hereafter. Obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Fulfill his ahkam. Obey Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And over the shortcomings make a lot of tawbah and istighfar. And then see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives in the heart. We don't want to taste that sweet grape. That sweet grape, we don't want to taste it. That example of Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi is a beautiful example. I don't know how many times I've given it. There's a new audience here. By way of example, he says a worm was told that there is a sweet, juicy grape up this vine. Very sweet and juicy. So that worm sets out for the juicy grape. However, it lands on a green leaf. Now when it lands on the green leaf, that stupid worm thinks that this green leaf was the juicy grape. Like how we are stupid and foolish at times. In the same way that worm was stupid and thought that that leaf was that juicy grape. So that worm was told that no, the juicy grape is still up. He says, you speaking lies. I'm enjoying this juicy grape here. You want to deprive me of the juicy grape. Therefore you're telling me go forward, then you may eat it up. So therefore let me stay on this green leaf and carry on. So it stayed on the green leaf, whiled away its time. Nibbled away the green leaf until its mouth came, death came, qiyamah came on the same leaf. But it was deprived of the sweetness of the juicy grape. Like that we, having heard about that juicy grape, those rewards of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, sometimes we set out, we take in that direction, we want to go in that direction, towards the masjid, towards the ibadat, zikr, tilawat, dini activities, charities, full service to mankind. We want to go in that direction. But we take one or two steps and then we land on the television screen and now, or the porn sites of the internet, or some music, something that attracts us. And now we say that this must be the juicy grape. What enjoyment I'm getting in this. How can there be enjoyment, what these Maulanas were saying in ibadat and zikr and tilawat, they can't be. Look at the enjoyment that I'm getting in all these things. Yet he doesn't realize that this is that leaf and soon his death will come. That enjoyment will be taken away. He will be deprived of that juicy grape in this world too and in the akhirat too. But if he had moved a little further away from these distractions and attractions, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him such enjoyment in that juicy grape that he won't want to come back to the leaf. So this Muharram 10th day, at least as I'm saying, that let us make our minds and let us make our intention that whatever happens, whatever plans we may have had, how pleasing it will be to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he sees that this servant of mine, this young person who had everything going for him and who had all kinds of plans and all kinds of engagements, and the person had all kinds of ideas that this is where I will be spending my 10th of Muharram, because he didn't look at it as 10th of Muharram. He looked at it as a public holiday, Sunday and December, and with all the attractions that are laid out, where there will be so much of beautiful faces and there will be so much of other kind of entertainment. So now this young person was ready for that, but he says, "Oh Allah, I've made up my mind, I'm not going to go in that direction. Once in my life I will try and please you. If I have bought tickets also, which are costly, but it was for some kind of haram entertainment, my Allah, I'm tearing it now and throwing it away." Try it out and see what kind of happiness Allah Ta'ala brings inside. One young girl on the 27th night, Ramadan, last year or the year before that, a young girl, she wrote herself, she says that, "I heard one of your talks, and in which you spoke about photography and the pictures that we have of all these film actors and actresses in our files." She says, "I had a whole file, whole album full of pictures and pictures of film actors and actresses." She was crazy. She says, "But after listening to that program," she must have heard it at the madrasa, and she, "I went home, and then I started tearing every page. Tears were rolling down." Young girl, she says, tears were rolling down. All her own photographs and everything else. "But," I said, "I want to please my Allah." And then she talks about the beautiful dream of seeing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that same night. First we have to shed some tears. We have to take the pain on our hearts. We have to make some kind of sacrifice. And then we see what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. Daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hai, tab kahi jaake unko paaye. Daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hai, tab kahi jaake unko paaye. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hain. Says people decorate like their homes. We know we decorate with chandeliers and with so many frames and so many other things. We decorate our homes. Beautiful carpets and beautiful furniture, decoration of our homes. Se daag-e hasrat se dil sajaye hain, tab kahin jaake unko paaye. My heart I decorated with the wounds of hasrat. That young person, what kind of hasrat? He is looking at other young people enjoying themselves, singing, dancing, wine, women, song, everything else. And this young person, he says, "Oh Allah, I rather make that high in my heart, deep-hearted sigh, but I'm not going to disobey you." Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not an ungrateful Allah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is, we do not want to taste the juicy grape, then who do we blame? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala appreciates that little sacrifice, the daaghe hasrat that this person has taken. And then see what Allah ta'ala gives them. What beautiful, beautiful ni'mats and bounties Allah ta'ala showers upon those people. A little bit test must be there. Look at our examinations at the schools and colleges. There was a little bit of test. Now those students had to work hard. Many of them stayed awake till late night. Lots of them stayed awake till late night. And now when they get the results and they say, "You passed your BCom, you passed your accountancy, you passed this, you passed that." Look at the enjoyment and happiness and rejoicing after that. when the metric results will come out, it will be as if they are floating in the seventh heaven. And yet nowadays it's nothing. A few percentage of pass and you pass your metric exam. So easy to pass. And what is its worth really? But look at the happiness. So here in this world also, a little bit of test, just control your gaze, control your heart. Distance yourself from those porn sites and from the haram entertainment. What do we get at the end of the day? Look at the number of young people who are saying that my health is gone, my wealth is gone, my happiness is gone, my sleep is gone. I want to commit suicide. I want to jump from the 16th floor and 20th floor. I just want to take drugs and I want to destroy my, take away my life. Why? When you got so much of money, you got a car, beautiful car, you got lovely cell phones, and you got a lot of things going for you. So then why is it that those pretty faces are making you go mad and want to commit suicide? A clear indication that there's no happiness in it, no real enjoyment. With friends, talk, eat, drink, be happy, nothing wrong. Nobody says all day sit in the masjid. So, daag-e hasrat se dil sajaye hain, tab kahin ja ke unko paaye. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye. So, that young person who takes that few steps towards Allah Ta'ala, not even few, just one step. One step on his nafs, and see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes that young person to heights. So, this Mubarak day, the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, as I said, one is the forgiveness of the sins on this day. There are lots of incidents that took place, but for us, it is that 10th of Muharram that we will, if Allah gives life, see tomorrow. So we have to program ourselves for tomorrow. If a person does not have the himmat and the strength to make any tilawat of the Quran Sharif or any zikr or ibadat, or go early to the masjid and sit for a little while and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, then at least don't engage in any kind of haram. That's all. Don't engage in any kind of haram. Look at the sacrifices that have been made. As Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, what example did he leave behind for us? The clashing of the swords, surrounded from all sides, blood flowing. But namaz meri qaza nahi hai. Even in the zuhr namaz at that time he made it. 72 people of the Ahle Bayt, their lives are gone. Little babies and children. And he's the grandson of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But namaz meri qaza nahi hai. His namaz is not qaza. What lesson is given us? Then no disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, even in the midst of the battle. And also, why did he go out? Because in his opinion, Yazid was not worthy of that khilafah. So he wanted to set the record straight, that he would give his life, but no disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be allowed. Now that's a whole history, we have to go into that. But the main point is that generally, people talk about the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala on this occasion, and give the impression that the whole significance and virtue of the 10th of Muharram is because of that martyrdom. Whereas that took place long afterwards, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us of all these incidents. So that took place long, long before this martyrdom. So we will say that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was so fortunate, so lucky, and it was his greatness and his kamal, and because of his closeness to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala wanted to give him an even more elevated status and position. So therefore Allah Ta'ala gave him shahadat on this Mubarak day, to give him that increased stages which he would not have been able to achieve but because of this shahadat. The whole history of Islam is filled with nothing but shahadat of great, great people. Besides Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, if you look at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, there's no time to go into any details. Fajr Salat on the Musalla in the Masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he's stabbed by Abu Lulu, that Jew. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala falls on the ground. And that was his dua all the time. Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabili, waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik, aw kama qal. Oh Allah, give me shahadat in your path and mouth in the city of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People used to wonder how can both things combine. Allah ta'ala gave him shahadat on the musalla of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After him, Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala. Now Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala was the father-in-law of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaheed. Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala, first he married Hazrat Ruqayya. When she passed away, then he married Hazrat Umm Kulsum. How fortunate, Sunnurain. Two lights. Two daughters of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his way, one after the other. Read his whole history and the shahadat of his Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala, the one who sacrificed so much of his wealth for the ummah. But when he is stabbed, his blood flows onto the pages of the Quran Sharif. The insurgents had surrounded his own house. Now there's a long history there again. But I want to give you the point that he was shaheed. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, again a son-in-law of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, married to Sayyidatina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved daughter of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it was his son, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala also shaheed. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala was given poison. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was made shaheed in Karbala. Full of shahadat. 70 people were made shaheed and martyred in the battle of Uhud. 70 of them. Amongst whom was Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, the beloved uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he was made shaheed, that rock of patience, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he too could not hold back his tears. When he looked at the condition of his uncle with his ears cut, nose cut, chest cut, liver removed, heart removed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looks at the body in tears. Hazrat Musab ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala become shaheed. He was the best dressed young person before accepting Islam, the best dressed, very expensive garments and clothes. And after accepting Islam, the sacrifices that he made, the time now comes in the battle of Uhud, when he becomes shaheed. When they were to bury him, the kafan is such that if you have to cover his head, the leg gets open. And when you cover the leg, the head gets open. Outward condition is this, that he is a shaheed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he saw him in his simple clothes after having accepted Islam and all the sacrifices that he had to make, there's such a long history. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also teared. Now that's Musab ibn Umair radiallahu. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, just cover the head and on the leg put some grass. That was the condition, outward. But in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what kind of shahad? 70 other sahaba. Uhud ke shaheedo ke khune wafa se, sabak le ke paband dastoor hunga. I will take lessons from the shuhada of Uhud, from the martyrs of Uhud. And obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Saad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala, on the occasion of Uhud, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Saad told him, come, let us go one side and make dua. So the Saad ibn Waqas, he said, let's make dua. I make dua, you make ameen, you make dua, I make ameen. So there's more acceptance of our dua, more hope. So the gist of that is, after that they both made dua. Now what kind of dua would a person make on such an occasion? As the Saad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, he said, Ya Allah, tomorrow I must confront a very powerful and a strong enemy. The enemy must be very powerful and strong. We will say he must be very weak. And as the Saad is saying, he must be very powerful, very strong. First he must overpower me. Now again, look at the dua, he says, first he must overpower me. Then I must hit back and overpower him. And then take his neck off. And then I must get his booty. The war booty that used to come. And I must be victorious. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Jash said, Ameen. Thereafter now, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jash radiyallahu ta'ala, their graves are there, same with Hazrat Hamza radiyallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Abdullah bin Jash, Hazrat Musab ibn Umair, the three Hajj. When we go there, so now he made dua. He said, tomorrow, Ya Allah, I must confront a very powerful and strong enemy. First, I must overpower him. And thereafter, he must overpower me. And then he must make me shaheed. And after that, he must cut my nose, he must cut my ears. On the day of Qiyamah, when my Allah will ask me that, oh, Abdullah, why this condition of yours? Then I will say, oh Allah, that was in your path. It was in your way. They used to look forward to Shahadat like that. Because it was a great status. And exactly that's what happened. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas says that his dua was more powerful than my dua. Because I saw his nose and ears hanging on a string in Uhud. Therefore I say, do not look at the outward condition. Sometimes in an accident a person is smashed, his brains are out on the road, and his body is smashed to smithereens. That is the outward condition. But if that person is of Iman, then we need not say that this person had a terrible death, terrible death. Nobody's body could have been in worse condition than Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. That person got some kind of a shahadat. Sometimes the person drowns and the fish has already eaten half of his body, some shark. Now if we have to see that body, we'll say, what a terrible death. But it's not terrible death, that is shahadat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself desired shahadat. وَدِدْتُ وَنْ أُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ سُمَّ أُحْيَى سُمَّ أُقْتَلْ سُمَّ أُحْيَى سُمَّ أُقْتَلْ. I must become shaheed in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then get life, then again shahadat, then get... Now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is desiring it. But Allah ta'ala had promised in the Quran Sharif, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah ta'ala will protect you from the people. So therefore Allah ta'ala didn't allow that to happen. But he too was given poison. Hazrat Hanzala radiyallahu ta'ala, read in the Hikayat al-Sahaba, the Shaykh Zakariya Sahab rahmatullah has also recorded this incident. Hazrat Hanzala radiyallahu ta'ala had just married. It was the first night that he had spent with his wife. And suddenly was the call of jihad. The Uhud, things were turning around there. And he was in need of ghusl and bath, but he rushed to the battlefield and he became shaheed. Now generally a person who is shaheed, then he is buried in the same clothes with the blood and everything. No ghusl is given and no kafan is given. Unless the person was in need of ghusl and bath. So they were burying him, not knowing that he was in need of ghusl. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I can see the angels of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala descending and giving ghusl and baths to Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala. What kind of people these were, that angels used to come down and give them bath if they were in need of bath before death. So one of the sahabi says, I went close to him and to check when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said this. So I could see water dripping from his head. Shahadat. A woman from the Ansar, she is told that in that Uhud battle, your father is shaheed. He says, tell me how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, your husband also became shaheed. He says, tell me how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, your son became shaheed. Say, tell me how, what is the condition of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, your husband became shaheed. Four people from the family. Say, tell me what is the condition of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I won't rest until I see him. That elderly lady was taken when she saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's face. Say, all my grief and sorrow and pain and affliction and everything is now all vanished. That's what she meant. She said, just seeing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's face is sufficient. Husband went, father went. Now that is shahadat. How many incidents we can relate? Whole history is filled with. So they gave lives, they gave their lives, they sacrificed their blood, they wrote the history of Islam with their blood, And we are told to give up our addiction to drugs and to vices and to evils and to porn and to adultery and fornication. Everything that causes nothing but injury and pain and brings nothing but misery and restlessness and anxiety and worries. But we're not even prepared to give up that for the sake of deen, for the pleasure of Allah. And who is going to be benefiting? Nobody else but ourselves. Therefore, I always say, ask any person who has spent 50 years of his life in adultery, fornication, drink, gambling, wine, women. Ask him, now what do you have to show as the accumulation of benefits after 50 years of your life in sins? He will have nothing but AIDS and ill health and poverty and restlessness and anxiety and rejection by wife and rejection by children and rejection by family, and we don't know what condition he will be in. He'll have nothing. And that person who spent his life in obedience of Allah Ta'ala, he was not deprived of good food, good clothing, good home, good car. If Allah Ta'ala provided, he was using it. Only thing, he was staying away from those dens, vice dens. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then gives him a kind of closeness. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with marifat, with yaqeen, with taqwa, with tawakkul. And then he enjoys such kind of tranquility and sukoon in his heart, as you have heard so many times.
شاہوں کے سروں پر تاج گرا سے درد سا اکثر رہتا ہے اور اہل وفا کے سینوں میں ایک نور کا دریا بہتا ہے.
اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلى آل سیدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا راحم المساكين، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, most loving, most caring Allah. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. My beloved Allah, bless us with life on the day of Ashura. Let us witness the Mubarak day tomorrow. My beloved Allah, bless us with all the rahmat and the barakat and the virtues of the Mubarak day. My beloved Allah, let us be drenched in the rains of rahmat that pour on the Mubarak day. Just as you forgave nations of the past, Ya Allah, we are seeking forgiveness from you. Indeed, we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. From now, we already have plans for tomorrow to go to vice dens, my beloved Allah. Many of us have got programs that will be displeasing to you. Ya Allah, we are making tawbah from such intentions. Distance us from such places, my beloved Allah, where your wrath and anger descends. You have opened the doors of maghfirat and rahmat and mercy for us. It is not befitting that we should be entering the doors of your wrath and anger. My beloved Allah, we acknowledge that indeed we are the most sinful ones. But we also know that you are the most forgiving one. Even if our sins are more than the waves of the ocean, more than the grains of sand on earth, if our sins are more than the raindrops that fall from the heavens, if our sins are more than your entire creation put together, Ya Allah, your forgiveness is much, much more. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness is sufficient to wash away the sins of the entire mankind. My beloved Allah, we are seeking total forgiveness of all sins. Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, family members, ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my beloved Allah, don't turn away your glance of mercy and forgiveness because of our sins. Where are we going to go? Which other door is there that we can tap? Which other home is there which we can beg?
Ya Rab karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. Ya Rab karam se apne tu dono jahan de. Jo mustahiq ghazab ka hai usko aman de. O Allah, we know we have become deserving of your wrath, of your anger, of your punishment. If you send the gale force winds, if you order the earth to open and swallow us up, if you send the tsunamis, if you send the cyclones, we know we are deserving. But my beloved Allah, we know that you don't love to give punishment. You dearly love forgiveness. We are mustahiq of your ghazab. We are deserving of your anger and your wrath. But we are asking you for salvation and for amnesty, my Allah. Governments of the world give amnesty to their citizens for many, many reasons. Ya Allah, we are asking you for salvation. Ya Rab karam se apne tu dono jahan de. مستحق غضب کا ہے اس کو امان دے یا رب کرم سے اپنے تو دونوں جہان دے جو مستحق غضب کا ہے اس کو امان دے اللہ our actions are no different from the nations of the past. Total nations were destroyed when they engaged in homosexuality, when they engaged in other kinds of sins. Ya Allah, we are no different. Adultery, fornication, drinking, gambling. But my beloved Allah, on the eve of the day of Ashura, we are seeking forgiveness. Bless us all with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with forgiveness. Bless us with tawakkul, with yaqeen in you, with trust in you. Bless us with your closeness, with your ma'rifat. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us obedient to you and your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ. Oh my beloved Allah, nafs and shaitan have ganged up against us and destroyed us. اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ. We want my beloved Allah, your forgiveness, your help, your assistance. Bless us all with good health, my beloved Allah. Spiritual health and physical health. Those who are sick and ailing, whether they're in hospitals, in clinics, in homes amongst us, whether they matter with accidents or they're suffering from natural diseases, my beloved Allah, whatever it may be, give everyone complete shifa. Shifa is in your hands. We know that sometimes these sicknesses and diseases and accidents and other things can be a test and a rahmat. But we are extremely weak, even if it is a test and a rahmat. Change it to the rahmat of good health. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are unemployed, bless them with halal employment. Those who are in financial difficulties, bless them with plentiful of halal rizq and remove the difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those who have children, but the children have gone on to drinks and drugs and vices and evils. Oh, my beloved Allah, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Change the condition of their lives. Make them Sadqa-e-Jariyah for the parents. Give the parents the himmat, the courage, the strength to remove from their homes and lives everything that's causing so much of corruption, so much of corruption. The peace and happiness and tranquility of both parents and children is gone because engagement in sins. Give us the realization, my beloved Allah, that if you are displeased, we can never find happiness in this world. Oh, my beloved Allah, make us all yours and become ours. Agar ek tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi meri.
کہ تو میرا تو سب میرا، فلک میرا، زمین میری.
My beloved Allah, remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering of mankind around the globe, especially the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia. Oh my beloved Allah, which part of the world the ummah is not suffering? We know we are the cause of our own suffering, my Allah. But remove the suffering. Forgive us, my Allah. Forgive us. Forgive us.
گرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہا جائے تیرا بندہ، گرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہا جائے تیرا بندہ، تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ بامید کرم آیا، تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ بامید کرم آیا.
Oh Allah, I know that I am the most sinful one on the surface of the earth. But where must this bandha of yours go, my Allah? For there is no one for this bandha besides you, my Allah. Therefore, with great hope, we have come to your door. Don't turn us away, my Allah. Don't reject us. Don't reject us. Don't reject us. We know we are not worthy of acceptance, but on this occasion, Mubarak occasion, Ya Allah, such a large crowd, young, old, little children, shedding tears before you, Ya Allah, don't reject us. Hame apna bana lo karam se, hame apna bana lo karam se.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his life he made du'as for us. How much he suffered, how much he suffered. He was stoned in Taif, his Mubarak shoes are filled with the Mubarak blood. Just one drop of our child's blood we are not able to see, by Allah, if somebody had to stone our child. How the angels and farishtas must have witnessed your most beloved being stoned, being jeered at, being laughed at, being chased away from Taif, dogs put behind him. When he goes in sajda in Haram Sharif, intestines of animals on his back, the most purest and pak body of all. In Uhud, the pins of his helmet penetrate his jaws. He falls down unconscious. His teeth are shattered. Oh my Allah, when he is informed that ummah for whom you sacrifice so much, that ummah in discos, cinemas, theatres, dance halls, adultery, fornication, porn sites, filthy music on the cell phones, even in the Haram Sharif, watching filth on the television screens in Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Tayyibah. Ha, my Allah, what kind of pain it must be causing to the sensitive heart of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight we make tawbah from all our sins. We pledge not to return to those sins. Give us himmat and courage. Fill our hearts with noor of taqwa. Give us enjoyment in your ibadah, zikr, tilawat and fulfillment of your rights and the rights of all. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, all his life he made du'as for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, adultery, fornication, or any kind of haram. When the time of our death comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with burial in Baqi. Let our bodies become the patch of the earth of Madina. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما Ya Allah, accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Accept all workers of deen. Bless ikhlas to all workers of deen. All those who have passed away, fill their graves with noor. Bless them with jannatul firdaus. Give their family members, kith and kin, sabre jameel, ajre azeem. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi wa ma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.